Pleased to be joined by our next guest, a longtime member of the Dallas Stars, and a guy, good follow on Twitter, if you're not. He is Chris Bartsch. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Stirring some things up as on and off the ice, right, Chris? You're good at stirring things up, stirring the pot.
Yeah, you know, I like a little excitement in my life, and why not do it, you know, in a form of some opinions that might be contrary to what maybe lawyers of the league want, and maybe what, or, you know, contrary to what you know, the 400 million people down in the United States. I'm more of a voice for the fellows in the oil patch that maybe have worked you know, a tough 5-day work week and want to have a couple six packs on the weekend and watch a man's game. So
you. Obviously, your role in the National Hockey League was, I mean, you were feisty, you dropped the gloves if it came to it, and it got you over 350 NHL games, most of them with the Dallas Stars. You also spent some time in Florida and with the New Jersey Devils. Obviously, it's a big story right now in the league. The role of the enforcer or the tough guy, it seems to be out of fashion. Teams really going the other way, and I know that you have strong opinions on that, and you even went to Twitter with it and mentioned the Calgary Flames as it got a little bit of attention here in our city.
Yeah, you know, I know going in, you know, playing Calgary over the last couple of years and sitting in that dressing room getting ready, you know, to play the Flames night in and night out, you know, and even conversation with guys during the summertime when we're skating, getting ready for the season. A lot of these top six forwards that I've played with, and, you know, even guys in my role, when you're looking at that roster, or they're putting names up, you know, on the board, on the whiteboard before we're going out for warm-up, you're always looking across the ice, and when you got guys like McGrath and Bullock, Englund, you know, as a team playing against them, they're going to hold you accountable. And, you know, a perfect example for me was when we used to always play against Boston Bruins, you know, when I was with the Dallas Stars. We had some memorable games, especially with, you know, Sean Avery being there, and he would always like to start some things. But, you know, I remember Mike Ribeiro sitting beside me, and he's looking at the whiteboard, and they had their, you know, starting lineup, and he's sitting there saying, all right, Bartsch, if we go toe-to-toe here and there's a line brawl, you've got Chara. And he started looking down the way, and he's like, oh, no. He says, I have Lucic.
And, yeah.
You know, they sit there and laugh about it, but if they wouldn't be bringing it up or mentioning it, it probably wasn't, you know, something that didn't affect them mentally. And as much as the game is changing, I don't know where that aspect's coming from, if it's either coming from the league or the Kenny Holland Detroit mentality of things. That, you know, I know they made the playoffs, you know, a number of years in a row, but, you know, I look at the teams that win Stanley Cups, and you look at Boston Bruins, L.A. Kings. You know, I think, especially this year, you know, my two picks would be the Boston Bruins from the East and St. Louis Blues in the West in regards to a makeup of a team. But, you know, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if it's coaches' security that, you know, hey, they're looking at Mike Babcock and the systems they implement. And if they can get into the playoffs every year, well, then maybe, you know, they survive and they have long careers as coaches. So I think a lot of things are coming from different directions. So it's up for debate.
I asked this question to James, Flames general manager Brad Treliving the other day. How do you balance intimidation, physicality, and the ability to fight with maybe having to have some guys with defensive deficiencies on the ice? And not all guys that fight, you know, can't play, but there is a bit of a balance there, right?
No, most definitely. And I look at balance. You know, I look at combination of certain players. You know, a perfect example is, you know, one of my favorite fourth lines, and I think they're going to have a lot of success throughout the year, is St. Louis Blues fourth line, which is composed of Steve Ott, LaPierre, and Ryan Reeves. You know, I think they bring a little bit of everything, you know, and I made the point, and you know, I bring up Drew Miller's name, but for, you know, I would love to play against Drew Miller 82 games a year. you know, you're not going to be challenged physically. You know, I agree with him. He's a good penalty killer, but, you know, the game of hockey, I know everybody wants to reinvent the wheel, but in terms of winning championships, I would see Steve Ott, Reeves, and LaPierre winning it before, you know, the quality of the fourth line that, say, the Detroit Red Wings have.
beyond Chris Bartsch, longtime, what would we call you? Not an instigator. You know, carried yourself well on the ice in the National Hockey League. If in fact this trend continues and we see heavyweights or guys that make a living more in the fighting department, if it continues to go this way and it's more or less eliminated, even Mike Milbury of all guys was on TV the other night saying it's maybe time to get fighting out of hockey. What do you see as the negative there if in fact it does really go away from scrapping?
Well, to be honest, I kind of agree with Mike in regards to it is fading away. I think before the end of this CBA, you'll see it gone, and if not before the end, during the next lockout, I think when it comes back, hockey comes back, if there is a period of time when it's not being played, I think you'll see it gone. And I think you'll see more things like Gudas last night running Scotty Upshaw. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see that.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have guys running around doing what they want. You're going to have those fines from the league that will be implemented. But I just don't know if that's going to deter guys from doing what they want to do. And I think there'll be a lot of big money players that will pay the price.
What are your thoughts on some of the science coming out, Chris, with brain injuries and concussions and the long-term effects on guys? We've seen a lot of early passing of guys that did play very physical roles in the game.
I think if you look at all different roles, or even look at life, people go through different things, and unfortunately, people pass away at younger ages, and due to different situations. In terms of the medical side of things, I haven't studied or read much on it. I know personally, I have over 100 NHL fights, and my wife says I'm as crazy as I was when she first met me as I am now. So I haven't changed.
Yeah.
I normally base everything on my own reality, but I think also too, there's a side of it that an editor of a paper, or an editor of a blog, comes to their writers and says, "Hey, we're getting 2 million hits on stories of concussion, and we're getting 500,000 hits on this, feel-good story. We'll keep writing about something that gets us more hits," right? So I think there's a form of it coming from the media side of things as well. So
the tweet that got people's attention in Calgary, obviously, is when you talked about, and I'll read it verbatim, Bolig, Boma, McGrattan, good luck NHL fourth lines. My advice to them is target the Stars. Now you threw a capital S on the Stars there, which I think maybe got people a little excited.
Yeah, well, I mean, Steven Stamkos, Sidney Crosby, those Stars. I'm not saying the Dallas Stars. For me, you look at the guys that are kind of overtaking or maybe replacing that enforcer role that is, say, a Zach Ronaldo, a Antoine Roussel, a Ryan Garbutt. Well, what do those guys do? They frustrate the Stars. They run Jamie Benn. Zach Ronaldo's running Seidenberg the other night in Boston. Well, Boston's got Bobby Robbins to come in and run, Ronaldo, and Luke Shen's got to step up for him. So I think as guys that primarily fought in the last couple of years, I think maybe we made some mistakes in regards to being too nice to Stars. I think it was getting maybe to a point where we would just fight each other and maybe turn around and start running, Zach Ronaldo runs around. Well, why not take a run at Steven Stamkos and make take a run at Claude Giroux and make Ronaldo come after you, And I get some backlash in regards to people saying targeting the Stars, but hey, I'm not going to deny that Zach Ronaldo's not sitting there before games, and if he can get as many hits on a first or second line player across the way or a top four D-man, he's going to keep on doing it. So,
you spent the bulk of your career in the Western Conference with the Dallas Stars, but the last 2.5 seasons you had were out east. Did you notice a difference in the toughness, or is there always a couple guys on every roster? Because I know a lot of GMs say, we're in the West, we've got to be bigger.
Well, I tend to agree. I think right now there's a trend the NHL, I believe, is a little bit of a copycat league, and especially with Detroit coming out east and maybe Brendan Shanahan coming from that inner network with Kenny Holland and Stevie Eisman coming with that from that network of Kenny Holland and also Jim Nill in Dallas. If you look at their teams, they're kind of composed of the same type of players. So I tend to agree that the West is a lot bigger. I think faster. They play a little bit more old style hockey. I'm trying to still figure out what's going on in the East. You have the Boston Bruins that pretty much win it every year, and nobody wants to play like them. So I have to say, from how I put the teams and the experiences I've had over the last few years, I'd say the Western Conference is dominated. You can see the wins loss column in regards to East playing West. And, you look at the teams that win, Boston pretty much dominates every year in the East, and the West dominates the East, but the East majority of teams still want to go to that Detroit model. So
for yourself, where do you find yourself now? Season is one day old, essentially, and you're still... what's your... Obviously, you're hoping to get in there. What are you keeping busy with right now, and what's your timeline?
Well, to be honest with you, I've got three boys and a wife. I live in Grand Bend, just about 40 minutes northwest of London, Ontario, and it's kind of been nice. I've got to experience a pretty nice fall here. But, I skate three times a week with London Knights. I train every day, and, I guess with each passing day of the regular season continuing here, I'd say the percentages right now maybe are 50-50 that I come back and play, and I'd say they decrease 2% every day. So in about 15 days, and I think it's time to start looking maybe to do something else. And I've got no regrets. I've been able to be a part of a dream of mine when I was young and played 8.5-9 years in the NHL, and did what I had to do to play. And not everybody's going to be a Steven Stamkos or Sidney Crosby, and I've got 60 more years of my life to live, so start focusing maybe on plan B here in a couple weeks.
There you go. Hey, Chris, thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Well, congratulations last night on the Battle of Alberta.
Yeah.
good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. We'll talk again.
All right, sounds good.
You bet. There's Chris Bartsch.